All right. Thank you very much. Let's jump into this. It's Christmas season. I put on just a bright red shirt this morning. I was, driving, getting to drive the, have the loan of a new pickup. So I wanted to have a bright red shirt and kind of celebrate the Christmas season. And you can pretend that it's yours, And anyway, so I put on this bright red shirt. Everything was going good. And then I went out to the pickup and was about to, pack up and come on down here. And somewhere in that process, I tore a hole in that red shirt. I don't know. I didn't catch myself, but it right in the middle out there. I thought, oh, just tuck it in. You can wear that. And it's like, no, you can't do that, So I couldn't find another bright red shirt. So I had to run in there and wear this A&M looking thing. But, can't help it. I had on the yellow to go with the bright red, and I was in a hurry, and I thought, oh, no. Why do things like that happen? I didn't even know there was a hole in it, and then I looked down there, and it's like, caught it on something, I guess, didn't even know it. So anyway, my bright red didn't happen, but it's Christmas season. I get to wear a lot of red now this time of year. So I don't know, Christmas and red, it works. And everybody have a Christmas tree? Do y'all know? You gonna put one up? No, I probably won't either. I don't know if I will or not. I had one, and then somebody was out there last year and said, "Your Christmas tree's dirty." It was flocked. And there was a reason for that, because I didn't take it down. I left it up all year long. It filled a space there, and I thought it filled it nicely, so I never took it down. And I guess it collected dust anyway, and it was, your tree's dirty. And I thought, it's not dirty. And it's like, take that outside and shake it. I did, and this dust just rolled out of there. So I said, okay, we'll pack that up. And now I don't have one, so I thought, okay, it was a nice frog. And then I realized I should have noticed that wasn't as white as it used to be. But, oh well. So, let's look at God's plan. God, in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things?" That's New International Version. And it's like, so we're going to look at that, tie some other things in. But just know, going into this Christmas season, going into this month, with everything that's happening happening around us, which is a lot in this world, the world that we've known, the country we've known, is, we have to face it, it's changing radically. I do not think we'll ever see it again like it used to be. We might see it close. There's hope for that. But the radicalism, the communism that's in our schools and universities, the diversity, the whole thing is, you look at these kids and anything, whatever they're told, they just go parrot it. They believe anything. Nobody researches, nobody says, is this true? Let me use my mind. Where are our minds today? I don't know. Used to, people would say, I'm going to check that out. I'm not going to believe everything I hear. Not anymore. And I guess it's just because we want to believe the worst, the trash. We deep down, listen to me, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but deep down in the human heart, the unrepentant human heart, there's a want to hate, to be vicious. I hear people once in a great while say, "Oh, I believe that people are inerrantly good," and it's like, read your Bible. It says in the flesh there's no good thing. No one is good. No, we're not inherently good. We're inherently evil. We seek our own will. Without Jesus Christ, look at it. If anybody wants to know what happens without Jesus Christ, just take a look. Look what's happening all around us. So he says here to Christians, what do we say to these? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So you need to know that and keep it in mind that God is for you and nobody can really be against you. It doesn't mean you're not going to get opposition. They just can't stand. They won't make it. He who did not, God, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? You know, keep that in mind. God will do it. God will do it. We get discouraged because it doesn't happen when we want it to. But God does it in his way, in his own time. And so let me give this to you. There's an outline, and then we'll share these things. First of all, God has these things to give you because he has a plan for you. And that's the first point here. God has a plan you need to know. God put you here, and there's a plan, an overall plan that I fit into. But God has a special plan for your life to fit into that special plan. Tap into it. Ask him what that really is. What's my real purpose? I know what I'm gifted to do. I know I like mechanics, or I like this, or carpentry, or computers, or whatever it is. I want to be an IT person, or whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is, what did God put you here to do with that stuff? He gave you that knowledge. He gave you that ability. He gifted you, gave you an intellect to handle it. A wisdom, a discernment, all these things. He has a plan. But how many times do we ask God, what is your plan? I mean, God, I know what I can do. And maybe I can, you know, I'm a scientist, or I can do this, or a doctor, or a chiropractor, or whatever it is. But how do I use that for your honor and glory? What's your plan in giving me this ability? You ever ask him that? Most people don't. You know, it's just, I'll use that and I'll help people's teeth, or I'll do this and I'll work on this way, or I'll listen to them. But what else? I mean, how do you use that to the maximum glory of God? And we need to know that. We need to ask God, what's your plan? How do I fit in with the kingdom of heaven? What part of the church do I benefit? What do I do as the part of the family of God to make it powerful and effective? And we all need to know that. What is that plan? Jeremiah 33:3, what does he say? He says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Take that serious. Call to me, I'll answer you and show you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. But guess what he said? Yeah, I hear people say, well, if God wants me to know something, he'll show me. What is he saying? Passages like this, we need to listen to the words. He said, call to me. You have to ask me before I'll give you these deep things. I'll give you a general knowledge and a start and an understanding, but I want you to be humble enough to say, God, I don't know it all. I don't have this figured out. So he says, call to me and I will answer you. And then God's there waiting. Are you going to call to me? Are you going to ask me for this? You know why a lot of people don't want to know all that much and go that deep with God? Because then for what you know, you're accountable to God for. So if I learn all these things and God reveals this plan, I'm accountable to use it for him. And we may not consciously think that, but that's back there. The more I know, the more I have to account for it. The more of a steward he's going to use me for, the more he's going to require accountability. And so a lot of Christians say, I think I'd rather go be entertained. Hear some good music and some little mini message, and they call them sermonettes, and then I'll be just fine. You know why? Because if I learn too much about the word, God's going to hold me accountable for what I know and expect me to use it. So the more you know, the more responsible you are to use it correctly. But God, he says, call to me And I will answer you, and I'll show you these unsearchable, or some of you may have a translation that says great and mighty things that you do not know. But the point is, when you tie it together, God will freely give you all things. Let me ask you this. Are you asking him for them? Are you seeking them? Jesus, tie this in. Put the scripture together. In Matthew 7, he says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. He said, I'll do this. I'll freely give you these things. Do you want them? Do you really want them? Do you want spiritual gifts? Do you want the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Do you want to be holy? Do you want to be righteous? Do you pray for courage and boldness? Because you're going to need it to stand up and say what God wants you to say and live his word. And you're going to need wisdom and discernment how to do that, right? Pray and ask. James, the book of James, has said, if you lack wisdom, ask God and he'll give to you liberally. He won't get on to you for it. Do you ask him for wisdom? Do you ask him for discernment? Do you ask him for faith? This is not a chastising message. It's just questionable. It's just one with questions. Do we ask him for these things? God, give me faith. Give me wisdom. I need to be strengthened, Lord. I need to be wise and discerning. Wise as a serpent, innocent as a dove. There's a message on that I'll be bringing before long. Probably right after Christmas season. And what does it mean to be wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove? And how does that apply? But for today, God has a plan, and he will freely give you all things. He said, well, why am I not getting those? Are you ready for them? Do you want them? Have you made room for them in your life? A lot of times, you know, God's saying, I'll give this to you if you'll make room for it. You've got to get some junk out. You know, you let me come in there and clean some stuff out of your life? God doesn't like to put holy things in a garbage pit. So get the garbage out. Ask God to search your heart, know you, and reveal any unclean thing. That's what it says. Lord, search my heart, know me, and reveal any unclean thing. What have I got in me, Lord, that's keeping me from receiving some blessings here? Get it out. Is it lust? Is it anger? Is it greed? Is it fear? Is it stress, distress, oppression, depression? What is it? Is it something in the past somebody said or taught you, and you just, you know, well, they told me this, but I hear this, I read this in the Word. What is it that just keeps you stumbling all the time and just a bunch of garbage going around? Somebody told you were no good? Somebody told you couldn't make it? For a lot of you and a lot of people everywhere, there was some authority figure, some adult, some teacher, professor, some could have been a pastor, could have been something, I don't know, said something to you that just shattered you. And it just built up so many scar tissue, and God wants to come in there and excise it. He wants to take it out, remove it, so he can put into you these things that he freely gives. Holiness, righteousness, purity, goodness. He wants to put the faith in there and the wisdom and the discerning spirit and the courage and boldness and all the fruit of the Spirit. Well, man, you're just a walking load of dynamite for the Lord. Powerful in the Spirit of the living God. And he's saying to you, now pray you'll do this. Before, you know, as soon as you get out of here, well, you can do it now on your way home. And when you get there, get in your private place and say, you said, call to me and I'll answer you and I'll show you these great and unsearchable things that you do not know. God, I want to know them. Why is Israel in war? What is happening in the Middle East? Why is our country in the shape it's in? Why do we have such evil in positions of power? What's wrong, God? Ask him to show you these great and mighty things that you need to know. There is a purpose. There is a plan. You need to know the great power of Christ in your life. Show me these things. Show me, God, just how powerful Jesus Christ is in me, my hope of glory. What he can do through me. I feel puny. I feel worthless. I don't think I can say the right things at the right time. I don't really understand people. No, but God does. And God can overcome that. There's Moses standing at the burning bush saying, I stutter. I can't speak clearly. I can't go do this. And he's saying, well, there comes Aaron right down the road. It's a funny thing about that, isn't it? God used Aaron to give Moses the assurance that Moses, he said, you know, Aaron will speak. You just tell him what to say. And you realize Aaron never spoke a word to Pharaoh. Moses did it all. You know, he needed a little crutch and God gave it to him for a little bit. The whole point being, what is it? What in the world? You need to know the great power of Christ in your life. What do you mean, God, I don't speak clearly. I don't think clearly. I don't have a good education. And God's saying, so what? Did the shepherds? Did Mary? Did Joseph? Did my disciples? Did they have masters and doctorates from some university? Did Peter have some doctor's degree of fishing? I pulled him off of a little boat out there. He was a salty, crusty fisherman. Did any of them have? No, they didn't. But they had one thing. They had bigger hearts than they ever imagined. And God filled those hearts with his presence. Why don't you let him? Your heart's a lot bigger than you give it credit for. God, listen to me. Just get some of the junk out. I was watching The Chosen, you know, and there was the boat before it was filled with fishes and all the nets were in there. And it's like, that's what we have in our lives, isn't it? Just bundles of wadded up nets and stuff. And that needs to come out. I mean, throw it overboard. Maybe you can pull in a bunch of fish with it. But do something. Get the stuff out so you can fill the boat with the fish. You follow me? You got to put the nets out, get the stuff out of the boat to bring the good stuff in the boat. And God is telling you, he with Jesus, he'll freely give you all things. And call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things you don't know. You say, how am I going to start this? You start through knowing God through prayer. Through his word. There's another way to know God. And to know his plan. And that's through life. What's he allowing to happen to you? What situations do you keep finding yourself in? What's he teaching you through that? Do you see certain types of people gravitating to you? Do you know how I know that I'm supposed to work with people? Because they just come from nowhere. Somebody was telling me here, that, you know, a while back. Said, Tony, every time we go to eat or do something, we're sitting there and people, or we're standing in line maybe at the little grocery store or wherever it is, and somebody just comes up and starts talking to you. And I'm thinking, how does he know them? And then later you say, I never met them in my life. And they just start telling you everything. Well, that kind of thing tells you what you put here to do. Now, maybe they don't do that with you, but you have something else. With me, it doesn't matter where I'm at. I can be in line at HEB, Walmart, and if you're ever there with me, you'll see it happen. Somebody will just stop, and all of a sudden, they just engage. Next thing you know, I'm hearing all their tragedies, their family, and I'm thinking, and this has gone on so long, it's just part of, that's my ministry, to listen, give them encouragement. What's yours? That's what I do. Do it all the time, no matter where I go. It just happens. Oh, scared that person so bad they spun out of the parking lot. What is it God uses you for? Are people drawn to you? Or do you do things for people? Do you fix things? Do you cook things? You're a giver. You're a server. You're an exhorter. What is it? So the only way to know that is know God. Start praying. Know God through prayer, through his word, through life. Seek God's presence. Seek his will. Ask God, be present in me today. Be present around me today. Open my eyes and my ears so I can see and hear what you want me to do. Let me see life. Let me see what you're putting me into. Do troublesome things keep coming around me? Are you teaching me that I'm here to help other people with their problems and that's why you let me go through problems so I know how to fix it? So I know how to lead them to you who can fix it? You ever thought about that? Maybe if you're one of those people, you say, I don't know why. It just seems like stuff happens to me. Well, and a lot of people would tell you, that's because there's sin in your life and this and that. Okay, maybe that's to purge some of that. But God has a bigger plan. And what's that bigger part of that plan? Well, if that keeps happening to you, he wants you to turn around, gain that experience, and do what? Help other people who are going through it. That's scriptural. He says we suffer in order to what? Help those who are suffering. And we step back, and we don't say anything. We know people are going through stuff. What do you think you've been through things for? That, let life teach you. God uses that. Ask God to give you understanding and knowledge of the great and mighty things, of the great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Let's talk about a few things for a moment. Give you an example. You need to know the great power of Christ in your life. You need to know God's power through Jesus Christ to save and forgive and deliver and protect you from the evil one. And you need to know who the enemies of Christ are. Now let me say this. Let me go to Psalms 92. I forgot to mark it, but I'll find it real quick. Because I want to read something to you in just a moment. We're watching Israel be besieged. And we're watching people in this country all of a sudden come out of every crack and crevice against Israel. They don't even know why they don't like them. They're just told not to like them. What did we say about the Holocaust? What were the words that were spoken back then? Do you remember? Two words. Do you remember what they are? Never again. And we're watching it again. It's leading right to that. Hate the Jews. They're troublemakers. They do nothing but stir up everything in the Middle East and the world. Here's these people, you know, rioting, chanting, marching against them. What's Israel done to you? I want to say to all of them and ask anybody in this country, what did Israel do to you? What have the Israelis done to you? You're believing lies told to you that they caused all this trouble over there. They've been in war since they were created. People hate them because they're chosen of God. And now we have, and I mentioned earlier in a prayer before we started, the United Nations. If you haven't watched it, the United Nations is coming down on Israel. Really? The World Health Organization turn against them? What did they do to you? What have they done to you? And they're saying, oh, all those Israelis that were killed, well, they deserved it. So do you. They deserved it. Then I'll ask you this. If you're saying Israel, not you, but they, saying Israel deserves it because of the people they've killed and slaughtered, then you deserve worse for all the babies you've slaughtered in this country. And all the people you've killed with your big mouth. You're worse. So do you want somebody to come slaughter you and your family? Fools. You stand against these people and you don't even know why. You know why you don't really like them? Because somebody told you not to like them. And you're too dumb, and I'm not talking to you, but I'm talking to these people, you're too dumb to go find the truth. You don't want the truth. Remember that great movie? I thought it was a great movie. Yeah, there you go. Oh, Jack Nicholson in there, you can't handle the truth. Well, you can't. And I'm not trying to be evil and mean here, but people are being evil and mean to folks who are over there in a very small nation, and you kill a ton of them, and you say that's great, they deserved it. So do we all. Now let me say something to you. If it's Israel today, it's Christianity tomorrow, because we're the offspring from that. You won't take on one without the other. So everybody get ready. I'm praying God intervene in this and stomp his foot down, and that's it. And I pray for the destruction of Hamas this very day and all those who back them in this country, another country, and the United Nations and the World Health Organization. I don't care. God, strike them all down. Now, I don't mean kill them or send them to hell, but strike that power down. Don't finance it. I'm telling you right now, I have struggled with this, worried about this, trying to figure out, God, what needs to be said about this? But if we let it go on and we don't take a stand and we just know, though, listen, this message isn't just to whack and hit all those against Israel. The whole thing I've said here is to lead up to this, and it's in Psalms 92 that I wanted to share with you real quick. For those saying, why is this happening? What's going on here? Well, there's a lot of things, but let me give you this. It says in Psalms 92, beginning with verse 5, it says, how great are your works, Lord, how profound your thoughts. You ready for this? Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass, and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. When you ask and you seek God and say, what are these great and mighty plans? And God said, I have a plan through this. Don't you see what I'm doing? I've asked God, why? What's going on? What are you trying to show us through all this that's happening here in this country with just evil leadership, no leadership, all the vileness, the sinfulness, the evil that's just pouring out? I mean, if you're a pedophile, if you're somebody just, I mean, way out there on the perverse side, you're honored in this country? Think about it. Our leadership honors that. God is watching. God is listening. He hears it all. He sees it all. When you read this passage, did you get it, what it said? Senseless people don't know this. I'm just paraphrasing, but you can read it for yourself. Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. And you know what God's doing through this? Do you see it? God allowed this thing with Hamas for several reasons, but let me give you one big one. It's telling us we're now able to see. It's literally stripping naked, exposing and burying those hidden enemies that were out there. Now we know who the enemies of the cross really are. He's used this, and without even realizing it, the bad guys have uncloaked themselves. Evil has been exposed. We know now it's coming from these students and universities and schools, and it's in our government, and it's in the UN. We needed to know this, friends. You say, well, okay, if we know it, what do? Then you begin to make your calls, and you begin to pray hard, and you call out to God. Now we know who they are. It's become very obvious. We see it on the world screen. God is using things like, and He always does. He has a plan. You've got to know God has a plan. And this is part of it. Through what's happening, as horrible as it is, now we know. We got you. We look at our house, our Senate, and see that so many of them are doing nothing. Now we know. We see the UN, now we know. World Health Organization, now we know. And we see the states, and we see the cities where people are doing what they're doing and protesting and hating Israel. And let me say that, friends, it's got to be said. The very people, these are the very people who push woke, who push accept everybody, All diversity. You're saying accept you no matter what gender you are, no what color, race, or creed you are. Accept everybody no matter what perversion you have in your life. Accept Jews. You hypocrites. So now you know. Now you know. Those in woke, all the you're hypocrites. Any church that would say, we're going to be woke, you're hypocritical. You say, love all people except God's people. Really? No matter what these other people are doing to folks, that's okay. You include them. So then you've got this, you know, right? No, don't hate anybody. Everybody. Love everybody. Oh, really? Then why are you prancing down the streets saying, destroy Israel. We hate Jews. Seriously? And we see what a joke, what hypocrisy it all is. Now we see it. So, but you know, when somebody attacks you, take this down on a more local, personal level. When somebody comes at you, when somebody attacks you, do you realize God has a plan? And part of that is now you know who they are. Now you know what they really think, what they stand for or don't stand for. Instead of just getting mad and stomping your foot, now you can say, thank you, God, you revealed their heart. I see who they really are. It's a whole new perspective. I got to move on, and you're saying, please do. Wow. Fire's fixing to come out here. But God, listen, God has a plan just for you. And I was going to read you more of this, but let me just paraphrase it. Just for you. Listen, there was a man named Joseph. We all know about Joseph, right? And his brothers didn't like him. He had visions. It's funny about that. The more spiritual you are, the less people like you. You ever thought about that? It's amazing. Don't even want to invite you over for Thanksgiving because you're too spiritual. So they throw him in the pit and they tell his father, animal got him. He goes to hell on earth. He really does. And he gets accused of trying to attack a guy's wife and Potiphar's wife, on and on. And I mean, everything in the book should have been a pastor, same accusations. You know, that. I was telling some folks the other day, sitting with them, and they were going on about some things that had been accused. And I said, you ought to have done what I do for all these years. I said, I've been accused of everything imaginable. Everything. That there was a rumor one time that I was gay. And then there was, you know, I stole church money. And not here, but, you know, and it's like, I don't ever have a hand in it. I don't touch money. The only money I touch is when I put a tie check in there, that's it. I never see it, never take the bank. Thank you all for doing that. And I don't, but I've been accused of it all. I probably have at least 800, 900 kids somewhere. accused of everything in the book. And I was telling them, I said, if you're going to serve God, you're going to get, it'll be there. And what do you do? You've got to go on knowing that God has a plan. And it's like this. Whenever somebody accuses you, whenever somebody's starting a rumor on you, whenever somebody's out to trash you, I know it hurts. It's hurt me for all these things. But on the other side, you can say, God, thank you. I wasn't sure about that person. Now I know. Just like with Israel, you're revealing all those who are enemies of the people of God. So you are revealing to me personally who's my enemy, and I didn't even know it. So they stabbed me in the back. I needed to know that. You see? Because I won't listen otherwise. We make too many excuses for people. So God allows things to happen to say, I want you to see what I see. I have a plan for you. Just like I did for Joseph. Joseph learned about his brothers. He learned about all these people. He gets accused of trying to think, you know, molest Potiphar's wife. He gets thrown into prison, and then there's the cupbearer and the butler and the blah, blah, blah. And what happens? The man is abandoned by his family, given up for dead. They throw him in a pit, didn't care what happened. Some traitors come along, they get him. And the story goes along And what happens? He interprets a dream for Pharaoh. And before you know it, this kid thrown in the pit, accused of attempted rape. That's what it was. All of this, he's in prison for nothing, innocent. Okay, I'm hurrying. And what happens? He becomes the chief administrator of all of Egypt. That was his personal plan for God, but it wasn't to administrate to Egypt. Joseph was allowed by the Lord to go through these things, led all the time. See, when you're going through crud, when you're going through stuff, you're just shaking your head and saying, would you please keep in mind that sometimes going through hell will help you see heaven and experience it. And so you go through the fiery furnace of hell on earth, and then one day you're the administrator of Egypt, not to administrate Egypt, but so that some starving Jews can come to your front door and be fed by you, the one they threw in the pit. That's why Jesus says to love your enemy and do good to them, because they might be members of your own household. And if you won't let that anger consume your heart, one day they will come to you in submission, and you will be the ministering servant of God. He has that kind of plan just for you. Now I need to close, so I'm going to tell you this. God has a plan to protect you and help you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. That's Isaiah 54:17. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So as you go out here, and you go through what you go through, and you become part of God's plan, and He reveals these great and unsearchable things to you, and you get opposition, and you have all this happening, God's already promised in Isaiah, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. What does that mean? They might have a weapon. They might assail you, but they're not going to win. That's what prosper means. They're not going to win. So don't bend your knee. Don't holler the old term calf rope. Don't throw it in the towel. Don't give up, because God is not going to let them win. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you'll condemn. He said, you may be accused and gossiped about today, but I'm going to condemn that, and you're going to come out on top. And through it, you see who the real foolish people are and the people you don't need to associate with. And so I am closing with this last point. We close with this. God has a plan in His thoughts of you. Did you know that? He plans thoughts for you. His thoughts are a plan for you. Let me just read. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. Now that's the New King James, and I had both versions, so I'll read it to you out of the New International. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future. You grasp that. You write this down, and don't turn loose of it. In Jeremiah 29:11, I think of you. I think the plans for you. I think these thoughts. What does that mean? You mean I'm before God? You're on the palm of His hand day and night, and you're in His thoughts day and night. You personally, you're in His thoughts. God will not, here's what He wants His thoughts conveyed to you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Confess your fears, doubts, worries, needs, desires, hopes, dreams, whatever, to me. I will take care of it. You know what else God's saying to you? You are my workmanship. What does the scripture say? We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. These are the great mighty things God has for you. God began a good work in you and he will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Walk by faith, not by sight. Pray by faith. Speak by faith. God is for you, not against you. That's back in this Romans 8 passage. If God is for you, who can be against you? God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Why? God will freely with Jesus give us all things. It's about time to tap in and ask God, what are the great and mighty things, the great and unsearchable things that I just don't get? I want to know them. And I want you to take the junk out. Get the nets out of the boat so you can fill it with the fish, the ingathering of the Spirit, so I can know God as God knows me. Father, thank you for the power of your word, for your goodness and grace, for the might and the strength, and God deliver, save, protect, and give peace to Israel and to your Christian people everywhere. In Jesus' name, amen.